This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today, Pastor Phipps will present the first part of a message entitled Fighting the Good Fight. This message was so important that we decided, as we sometimes do, to air the message in two parts so that our listeners would not miss anything. So today we're going to hear part one of the title, Fighting the Good Fight, here on The More Abundant Life. Just before we hear the message for today, here is some special music that I'm sure you're going to enjoy.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply, He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in His mind. He'll bring that brighter day. With God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. And I want to read a couple of portions of scripture this morning. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. The word of God says there, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And then go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And Paul says, "Therefore I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." My message this morning, fighting the good fight. Fighting the good fight. One of the lessons I think I am still learning in my life is the importance of choosing your fights carefully. In life, it is very important to pick your fights carefully. And when you choose a fight, fight a good fight. It is important not to see in life every challenge to your dignity as a call to arms. Choose your fights carefully. And when you choose a fight, fight a good fight. Now, there are some fights you win by walking away. When people treat you with disregard and disdain, sometimes the only way to fight is to walk away. I read a story the other night about a truck driver who dropped in at an all-night restaurant in Broken Bow, Nebraska. The waitress had just served him when three mean-looking motorcyclists in leather jackets came up to him looking for a fight. One grabbed the hamburger off his plate and started to eat it. Another took a handful of his French fries, stuffed it in his mouth. The third picked up his coffee and began to drink it. The trucker stayed cool. He didn't respond as most people would have expected. He didn't like to be pushed around, like none of us like to be pushed around, but he had learned how to pick his fights carefully. So that trucker calmly got up, picked up his check, walked to the front of the room, put the check and his money on the cash register, and quietly walked out of the door. The waitress followed him to put the money in the till, and she stood watching as that trucker and his big rig drove off into the night. And when she returned, one of the motorcyclists said to her, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" She replied, "I can't speak to that, but I can say he's not much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot." In life, you got to learn how to pick your fights carefully. Amen. And when you choose a fight, make sure the fight you choose is worth the cost. Count the cost. Make sure the fight you choose is worth the pain, the struggle, and then give it your all. Fight, as the apostle says, a good fight. Many of you know that one of my heroes of history was Sir Winston Churchill. And not long ago, it was my privilege to stand in a little graveyard beside a church in Oxford in England. And there in the early morning hours, I paused to pay tribute to the life and legacy of Sir Winston Churchill, right there at his graveside. It had been 50 years since the end of World War II, and I saw at Churchill's grave that morning freshly placed flowers and tributes left by grateful citizens of the world who 50 years later could not forget this gallant Englishman with the heart of a bulldog who didn't shy away from this century's greatest fight. At a moment during World War II when all of Europe seemed lost, Churchill, Prime Minister of England, dared to defy the Nazi threat. This one man, with his dogged optimism, unfounded optimism, his incredible command of the English language, rallied a nation to fight the good fight, a fight for the cause of freedom. He led his nation in one of the most spectacular fights against oppression. And one of the tributes that I saw left at his grave was a quote from John F. Kennedy about Churchill, who once said of Churchill, he commissioned the English language and sent it off to war. Churchill made a decision early that the fight against Nazism was a good fight, a necessary fight. In 1940, in a speech before the House of Commons, listen to the words that he gave to Parliament. He said, "What General Wagon called the Battle of France is over. I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned on us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be free, and the life of the world may move forward into broad sunlit uplands. But if we fail this fight, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science." The man could speak, y'all. "Let us therefore," he said, "brace ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth will last for 1,000 years, that men will say this was their finest hour." Churchill knew that this was a good fight. And I've seen soldiers' cemeteries. Some of you have been to Arlington. I've been to Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea, where soldiers from Australia and New Zealand died fighting for freedom, never made it back home. Their bodies still lay at rest on foreign soil. John McCrae's Flanders Fields says it all. Listen to this beautiful poem. "In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amidst the guns below, we are the dead short day ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not all sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Yes, some fights are worth the cost. Some fights are worth the sacrifice. And by far the most important fight we as human beings are in is the fight we are in against the devil, against the flesh, against sin. It is a fight that everybody's got to fight. It is a fight we fight under the banner of our captain, Jesus Christ himself. This fight is not with bombs and bullets. It is spiritual warfare. That is why the pioneers of the church call members of the church Christian soldiers in the army of Christ. Because you see, from the very moment you join this army, the Lord's army, you are in for a lifelong fight. A fight with the devil himself. Sometimes it'll feel like arm-to-arm combat. It is a fight against demons. When you become a Christian, a real conflict begins in your soul. When you are out not thinking about the Lord, living any way you want to live, the conflict isn't there. But boy, make that decision to live for Christ, and a conflict begins in your soul. Battles begin inside of you, and they are hard battles. How many of you know they are hard battles? They are long battles. They are dangerous battles. In these battles, I want you to know the casualty lists are very, very high. Not only among the heathen, but those who call themselves Christians. You've got serious casualties, even amongst preachers, even amongst those who've given themselves to serve God with all their hearts. The casualties are high. The devil attacks the rich as well as the poor. It doesn't matter to him what you got. It doesn't matter whether you have much or little. You are his target. He claims you as his. In this fight, I'm glad that the enemy, the devil, is limited. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he is not omniscient. I'm glad that when I send a prayer up, he doesn't know what I just told Jesus. I'm glad that he's limited in this fight. I'm glad that he is not omnipresent. And you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, that the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. And in this fight, Paul describes him as an angel of light. Peter describes him as a roaring lion, like a lion stealing about, waiting for your moment of weakness. In this fight, Jesus calls him the prince of this world. And Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. In this fight, I want you to know the devil is patient. He's got more patience than we do. He will sit and wait for you. He'll wait a decade for you. He'll watch you get a victory. And he'll just watch you, saying, as soon as she calms down, I got her. He looks for a weak link in the chain of your character. He looks for an unguarded door. The Lord said, preach this morning. And for everyone, that weak place is different. There are some men and women, he'll never tempt you. He'll never tempt you with a glass of wine. Because he know you got that. He'll never tempt you with money. Some of you. Because he knows you don't need a lot to live on. Some people are like that. I don't need much. He won't tempt you with things that he'll tempt somebody else. He'll tempt you because he knows your unguarded door is your pride or your passions. Help me, Jesus. Or your lusts. Whatever it is, the Bible tells us that your only defense is to submit to God, resist the devil, and run. Amen? Your only defense in this war, in this fight, is to submit to God. First, do what? Submit to God. Do what else? Resist the devil. That means you got to fight him. You got to resist. You got to struggle. Amen. You got to say, no, I'm not, no, I can't do this. No, sister, leave me alone. Brother, don't call me no more. You've got to fight, you've got to resist, and then you've got to run. Your life depends on it. You see, if a man submits and doesn't fight, so the three things you got to do is submit, resist, and run. Say it with me. Submit, resist, and run. If you submit and don't run, you're in trouble. If you submit and don't resist, you're in trouble. If a man fights without first submitting to God, he will lose the fight because he'll not put himself under God's discipline. You won't get God's power if you try to fight before you submit. Help me, Jesus. As a matter of fact, you won't even run good if you don't submit. Am I telling the truth this morning? Unless you submit to Christ, you will not flee from temptation. The word of the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is that in this fight, you haven't really been fighting until it cost you something. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 4. What book did I say? The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. In the King James Version, it says, you have not yet, what? Resisted until what? Say it again. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let me read it to you from one of my favorite versions. Hebrews 12, verse 4. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. In other words, in this fight, you got to be so serious. Thank you, Jesus. You got to be so serious that when you leave a habit, you got to burn bridges. Yes, yes. Lord, help me. When you leave a secret sin, you got to burn bridges. I said you got to burn bridges. You have to put yourself under the control of Jesus and act under his orders. And until you do that, you've not really yet resisted unto blood. You've got to resist unto blood. You've got to give it everything in this fight. In this fight, the only path to triumph and victory is through blood. Brothers and sisters, everybody in this church is in the fight of their lives. Turn to that person next to you and say, you're in the fight of your life. You're in, yeah, touch that person. They're nodding, sleeping, wake them up, say, brother, you better wake up. You are in the fight of your life.
Well, that concludes our message for today. In fact, that's all the time that we have, and we will have to air part two of this message in another broadcast, and we will. But if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Phone number again is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 150. That's program number 150. And that will give you part one of our title today, which is Fighting the Good Fight. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland, which is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Directions for the church can be obtained by calling the church office, 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings, and I do hope that you will join us again for another program. But until then, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.